It's great to be together, and I'd like to invite you to follow along in the reading this morning in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Luke 2, beginning with verse 8. So now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We see here that the angel's announcement, we want to notice especially the emphasis that he pointed out here to the shepherds. "I bring you," he said, "good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." This time of year can be a very busy, sometimes almost overwhelming, hectic time for us if we do not try to maintain our priorities and our focus as Christians where we want them to be. The world around us can draw us into the energies and the effects of the world as it's unfolding before us. But God makes it clear here that the coming of Jesus Christ into the world was a matter for great joy in our lives. And so it should be. Not only this time of year, but all throughout the year. As Christians, because Jesus has come and become a Savior to us, to all of the world, as he says, we need to have and maintain that attitude of joy. This year especially, for me, it painfully, kind of within our family, we've noticed the effect of two of our families who have died. I'm speaking of our own family, Karen and I, in our immediate family on both sides, losing someone very dear to us. And as this time of year approaching, sensitive to the fact that this is going to be a very difficult year for them. A loneliness and sorrow that they have, all those memories from the past. And all the more reason that as we live our lives, we need to have that joy that we can extend to others and remind them that we have reason for joy in our lives as Christians. As we listen to many of the hymns and carols on the radio or just playing them at home on our devices, we probably have heard and reheard again the beloved hymn, "Joy to the World." And the words of this song to me are amazing. As it was written by Isaac Watts way back in the year 1719. And it was just, he wrote it as a poetry, not as a hymn. And it was later put to the music that we are familiar with. But in the words that he wrote, he tells the meaning of Christ. And joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And then in the second verse, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. And verse 3, no more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. And verse 4, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations grow. Makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love. Beautiful hymn and powerful words that remind us of the real meaning of Jesus Christ in our lives. As I say, we have reason to rejoice of any people on earth. It's us. We as Christians have that reason to rejoice. And we're reminded of those words of John Newton when he wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And that is really the reason why we have basis reason for such great joy in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul put it this way as he was talking about what Christ means to us. He said, we had no hope and we were without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, we who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And certainly that is why we have joy in our hearts. Whenever we think of Jesus Christ, we were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. It is all because of Christ. And the amazing thing to think of is how the love of God was revealed to the entire world in the birth of his son, a little baby, in a small village in Bethlehem, under the most humble circumstances. God manifested to the entire world his love and his coming plan for a Savior for our sins. Such a contrast of the way he came into the world and the impact that it has had on the world and on our lives. But as we think about the Christmas season, this time of year, in each one of our lives, what does Jesus Christ mean to you? How do you have this joy? Are you able to maintain this joy in this time of year with all that's going on around us? You know, it's been kind of a busy time for us, and Karen and I were talking about as we get older, life just seems to get busier for us. And, you know, all the grandchildren and all the shopping and trying to make sure that we do not leave out any one of our grandchildren. And we almost did that. We were, the other night, we were going through and now did we get a gift for everyone? And we almost thought we had forgotten one. So here we go, rushing to the store again late on Friday night. But come to find out that we hadn't. So that person got actually two gifts. That was turned out to be nice for them. But I think you can all relate what I am saying, that You know, we have, when if you were asked, what does Christmas seem to you, or what does it feel like to you? There's many things, you know, that comes to mind, our family and friends and gifts and decorations and shopping and happy and magical. All of these things are good words that I think we love this time of year. I think all of us do. But really, when we think about those who have lost loved ones, it is true that for them, this may be the most difficult time of the year. So we really need to be thinking of those around us that might fall into that condition. But as I say, we need to have a joy within us, not just because of this time of year, but because of Jesus Christ, what he means to us. And that is a joy that cannot be taken away from us, you see. Because he has given us a Savior. And whatever the world is doing and happening in the world, even though it may be stressful at times upon us, cannot take away that joy that God has given to us by giving us his Son. And he came into the world as a little baby. And that little baby impacted, would grow up and become Christ who died for our sins and has had the impact on us. So we have this tremendous joy. For us as Christians, it's a joy because of what God has done for us in Christ. And it's a joy that makes us generous toward others. And the joy that we experience as we do give gifts to one another. I think that as the Apostle Paul made the statement, he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We really experience that this time of year when we do go to that extra effort of buying a gift that we pick out for that person, maybe one of our children or grandchildren, and then we get together and we see them opening that gift, and it brings them such joy. To me, that is a magical time. That's a wonderful time of year. And there's the joy that causes us to then want to share the joy of Christ with others, those that come. We go into the grocery store. We want to try to exhibit that joy as we interact with other people. And all throughout the year, it should be that way. This time of year, I think sometimes it helps us to kind of remember that and get some of that back that is easy for us to lose track of during the course of the year. But to me, that is one time, that is one reason that it means a lot to me. But as the song says, joy to the world, it says, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. And that is the reason why we have that joy. It's because of Jesus, because he is a Savior, not just because he was born. And that is a sweet story that we love to tell, but the real meaning of it is he died for our sins, and we have a Savior. We have salvation. We have joy, and that joy is overflowing in our hearts, and it impacts those around us. The psalm was written, really the words of the hymn was written by Isaac Watts, and he lived in London in the year 1719. He died in 1748, but he is known as probably the most prolific hymn writer that we know. It's been estimated that over 450 hymns that he wrote, the words, are still being used in churches today. And yet he didn't write the music to any of those. He was a poet, and said that he began writing poetry when he was 7 years old. And he wrote hundreds of hymns today that are sung. The interesting thing about Joy to the World is it was not written as a Christmas carol. It was written because it was part of the Book of Psalms. And in the year 1719, he published a book that the name of it, The Psalms of David. And it was the Psalms of David put into a more contemporary meaning with the Christian impact of what Jesus has done, all paraphrased into the Psalms. And it was very popular. But in Psalm 98, the latter part of that is part of that hymn, part of that psalm, really, verses 4 through 9 especially, of Psalm 98 is what Isaac Watts' famous hymn, Joy to the World, comes from his paraphrase of Psalms. And as he put it together, and he was looking at it from the standpoint of Jesus Christ is our Savior, and the understanding of how the New Testament has come to fulfill all those things that the Psalms, they were written in the days of David, they were talking about God as He is our Savior, and He has made known His salvation to the nations of the world, to the entire world, to sing and rejoice praises to God. And God is going to be the judge. He is going to bring righteousness to the earth. And all of those things that the psalmist David was writing about. For example, in Psalm 98 in verse 2 and 3, said, "The Lord has made known His salvation. His righteousness He has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." So he's talking about God. He's talking about the Lord, Jehovah. And he is talking about how God has made His salvation known to the ends of the earth. He has been faithful to Israel, but He has made His salvation known to the entire world. And of course, looking into the New Testament, we know that His plan and purpose was for it to be for the entire world. When Jesus would die for our sins, it would not only be to the Jew, it would also be to the Gentile, that all mankind would be, the gospel would be proclaimed to the entire world and the good news of salvation. But he says here three times in this psalm, in these verses, to shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth, verse 4, and then in verse 5, shout joyfully before the Lord the King. And then the final two verses, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. So that was Psalm 98. And as Isaac Watts was putting that into poetry that, you know, flows and then can be taken and put into music very easily. And eventually that is what it was done in the year 1748. Here in America, we now have the hymn, Joy to the World, The Lord Has Come. And we hear that, and it is a very beloved song that we hear this time of year, every year, but it's really not a Christmas song per se. It is a song about the joy of Jesus and the joy of God in sending Him into the world that we might have salvation. But the joy of Jesus did come into the world, beginning especially with his birth here that is recorded for us. And we have in Matthew and in Luke, the Bible takes the first few chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Luke, and it expands on the surrounding story and circumstances of those events coming up to when Jesus was born. The angel came and appeared to Mary and told her that she is going to have a child, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of God. And he is telling her that this child is going to be born miraculously, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore the Holy One who's to be born will be called the Son of God. Well, as Mary was betrothed at the time with Joseph, and it became evident as that fact of her pregnancy, it became evident to Joseph. He became embarrassed of that fact, and he was minded to put her away and not marry her. He was going to do that privately. He was going to be respectful of her and not make her a shameful public figure. But he it said that he was considering that he would not marry her because of this. But then the angel came to him and spoke to him, said, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And so Joseph aroused from his sleep, proceeded, and he took Mary to be his wife, but he did not know her or have any relations with her until after the birth of the child. So God is very clear about the circumstances of the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ, but it also points to the fact that when Jesus would be born, the real purpose of his coming was going to be not in his birth, but in his death. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, Johnny Erickson Tada is a woman who lives down in Southern California, and she was paralyzed when she was 17 years old in an accident, and she's a quadriplegic. And she is in a wheelchair, and yet she is an amazing artist. And she paints by putting the paintbrush in her mouth, and that is the only way that she can paint as she does. But she was asked to do a painting of the Nativity of Jesus, and this is the painting that she drew, and you see Mary holding her baby and the joy that she had, no doubt, in that. But in the distance, you see the cross and the hills between the birth of Jesus and his death that would eventually have to take place. And it's amazing to me that here she is a quadriplegic, and yet she is able to do these amazing paintings and all the other activities that she involves in. And you can hear some of her inspiring talks on YouTube and other places like that. But it represents the fact that when Jesus was born, joy to the world was revealed. And that in his first coming, it brought joy in the minds of the people. And it brought joy to Joseph and Mary, who they were approached that they needed to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of the census. And so here in the ninth month, probably of the last time that of her pregnancy, they make this journey from Bethlehem, from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. This is a journey of about 60 or 70 miles and several days' journey. And they get there, and then there is no room for them in the inn. And they end up, the child is born in the manger, in the stable with the animals. And yet the joy that this represented. Then there were the shepherds, we're told, that were in the fields nearby. And they were tending the flocks. But suddenly, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. So it frightened them, it terrified them when the angel appeared and began to speak to them out in the fields as they were and make this announcement to us: do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you this day in the city of David there is a Savior that is born. And so they were not told to go look at the child, but they are told that the baby has been born, and they will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And then as they were there, still in the fields, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, said, of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Trying to imagine that scene there of the heavenly host here in the heavens before these shepherds, what that must have been like to them. I mean, you talk about a light show, you know, we were seeing that in Times Square the other day, that something happened that had never happened before, that all of the 27 billboards suddenly went dark, and then they came back on with the message of the birth of Christ on all 27 screens. And it was the first time that this had happened. And someone said it was the Mormon church that paid for that. I don't know if that's true or not. But it was, from what I could see, a beautiful display. And all of the people there who are down there in the city, and they're normally seeing the advertisements and all the latest movies and things going on. And suddenly it goes dark now. Is this beautiful message displayed of the birth of Jesus? The shepherds here were in the field, and certainly they see this. And so they what is their response? What was their response to it? It says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So they saw this heavenly host announcing this wonderful thing that had happened. And they didn't just leave it at that point. They, on their own, took the initiative. Let's go find out what has happened. And so they go and they find Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then it says, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so they began to proclaim the joy, the good news, that in the city of Bethlehem, this day, a Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born. And as we today approach this time of year, and we are set with all of the hustle and bustle and the shopping and getting things ready and putting up the decorations and everything, we need to stop and just take a moment and remind ourselves, hey, wait, this is joy of the world that a Savior has come. And that Savior has finished the work that He came to do. He did go to the cross. He did die for our sins. He did rise from the dead as God fulfilled His purpose for mankind and expressed and demonstrated His love. Now, what is our role in that? How do we play a part? As the shepherds, I mean, they were frightened. Now, all of a sudden, something happened here that they weren't prepared for. And yet, as they heard that announcement, they responded. And they responded, let's go find out. Let's go see this child. And once they had seen him, they began to tell that message wherever they had the opportunity to express that. And in verse 20 it says, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them." Today, as we are here and as we experience the meaning of Christ in our lives, we reflect on the fact, here God brought joy to the world through the birth of a single baby boy. And that the joy of the world is possible now that we experience because the Lord is come in the person of a tiny babe born in the most humble of circumstances. But that babe then grew up and went out and accomplished the mission that God had given him. And that is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. So, do we have that joy? Is the question that I'm asking each one of us today. In Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." In Psalm 51, David said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And also in Psalm 15, he said, "In your presence is fullness of joy." In God's presence is fullness of joy. And Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So, joy to the world, the Lord has come. That is a message for all of us to carry with us in our hearts throughout this year and this time of year and this coming year that is ahead, and maintain that sense of joy. Let's stand together and sing the hymn that has been selected for us, number 743. And if there is any subject, we invite you to come this morning to Christ as we stand together and sing.
Oh, have no rest for me, I will find when